Amen. Praise the Lord for the message and that song tonight. Glad to have you joining with us tonight. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 146. We will always find enough in our Savior. And I pray that He is everything to each and every one of us that is listening tonight. We make that a priority every day to seek Him, to find Him, to get exactly what it is He has for us each and every day. And this has been a very strange few weeks. The things that are going on in our country, the way we've been holding our church services, never seen anything like it, and I hope we never do again. But as that song said, we are in uncertain times. And it reminds me of a story that I saw recently about this man that was flying for the very first time. He was very nervous about it. And he finally got up the courage to get on the plane, and he got on. He made his trip to where he was going, and as he got off, his family was there to receive him, and they asked him what he thought about his flight. And he said, "Well, it wasn't as bad as I thought it might be, but I'll tell you, I never did put all my weight down." And I think right now hundreds of you are falling off the couch laughing at that. I hope. We are living in uncertain times. Your faith in those times can still find a resting place. And I want to look here in Psalm 146 tonight. It's a psalm of praise, but it's also one that reminds us of where our trust needs to be and the results of putting our trust in our God. Psalm 146, let's begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that the very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord." Now I just want to talk to you for a few moments on how to have happiness right now. How to have happiness. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for who you are, what you've done for us, the privilege it is to be in church all day today, to worship you, to praise you, Lord, to hear messages that we've heard. I thank you so much for, Lord, live stream, the technology that we have where we can still, Lord, hear a message together and worship together. I thank you so much for that. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, be this each and every one of us now. I pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to receive your word as you intend for us to receive it. Be with me as I preach. Pray that you strengthen me to deliver your message tonight. We ask all this in your name. Amen. The firstborn child for many people is one that comes with much difficulty. And I've known that from my own experience and from talking with other people about their firstborn. And with the firstborn child normally comes a little bit of stubbornness. But normally comes a little bit of independence. Normally comes a little bit of just wanting to do things their way and wanting to control the things around them. And our son is one that fits every one of those categories. Jackson, from a young age, we've seen is that way. And with those traits comes something inherited from his mother and I. He's extremely competitive. He's a terrible sport when it comes to any type of competition. And at the age of 3 or 4, we began to see those problems there and the difficulty that he had with different things like that. So we began to talk to him. We began to say, "Jackson, this reaction you're having is not right. We don't need to throw a fit. We don't need to get angry. We don't need to hash out at someone because you've lost or because things didn't go your way." And we began to ask him this question. We'd say, "Are you happy?" We would say, "You can still be happy when things don't go your way. You can still be happy when the game doesn't go as you want it to go." And anytime we would see him get close to that mindset, we would say, "Are you happy? And I remember one day in particular, as he's a 4 or 5 year old boy, and his little brother was, we were playing a game together, and Peter won just by luck in that game, and I began to see Jackson's emotions go over his face. He became very red. I could see his jaw begin to clench, and I could see his fist started to get tighter, and he caught my eye, and he goes, "I'm still happy." I'll never forget that moment. You know, there's many of us tonight going through difficult times. Many of us tonight that may be holding in our heart the fear of the unknown and their stress that comes from our circumstances that we're facing. And I want to ask you tonight, can you honestly say in your heart that you're still happy? Our circumstances should not determine our joy. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It's a principle that we understand and one that we have knowledge of, one that we've tried to hold, a verse that we've memorized, but it's one that we so often forget. Something someone says at the beginning of the day could offend you or hurt your feelings and set your behavior, your attitude off, your mindset for the rest of the day. We're finding out what it's like to be locked in a house for 24 hours a day with everyone, and we're not able to take our kids anywhere at this time, and those that are learning what homeschooling is like, all those things, kids' misbehavior can really impact the temperament of each and every person in the house. You may receive bad news at work, or you're not able to do the things that you love to do, or you may be looking at your finances, the movement of the stock market, all these different things. When those things happen, can you truly still say, I'm still happy? Psalm 146 is the first of the five Hallel Psalms, the Hallelujah Psalms. And these five psalms were written around the time that Israel returned from terrible time of bondage in Babylon. And as they returned out of exile, the Jews had a desire to rebuild the walls, to get back to established in their city, to build the temple, to reestablish their nation, and to commemorate all that had happened at this point. They wanted to write these psalms of praise to God. And in the beginning of these psalms of praise, we also find reminders of some things we should have in our life. There's two things that we're going to share tonight, very simple, that need to be part of your life if you want to have that happiness. It's very simple. First thing is to trust God. Trust God. We look here in verse 3 and 4, and we know that trust in man brings disappointment. Trust in man brings disappointment. You look there at verse 3, it says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and that his very day his thoughts perish. You know that man is limited. The writer is warning us against making any man the object of our trust. We're told there in verse 3 that it says, in whom there is no help, he lacks the ability to help. That word help is an interesting word. It's the same word that was used for salvation, deliverance, for victory in the Old Testament. And the idea here is this, as he's speaking there in verse 3, man can be helpful from time to time in his life, but man can never offer you enough. Man can be helpful, man can benefit us, man can help us from time to time, but man can never offer us enough. And because of that truth, what we find here in Psalm 146 and throughout the Word of God, we need to be cautious in giving our trust to men. There's a trend in society to give much praise to actors, to singers, to athletes, to take the word or to depend on someone to bring us joy or to bring us happiness or to help us. And there is only so much that man can do. Man is limited. We also find that man is temporary. It says there, his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Man is in this world for a short time. And when man passes from the scene, the Bible says his thoughts perish, and the things that he was once offering to men can no longer be offered. It will not last. We know in the book of Ecclesiastes that our life is but a vapor and vanisheth away. You know, we can look just a month ago in our country. Things were great. The economy was booming. Business was good. And a virus came in and shook things up overnight. You look at your health. We have evidence that your health can change and just the flick of a finger, tragedy can strike. There's a warning here not to put our trust in men. A writer by the name of Clarence McCartney was asked the question, where is happiness? He did some research on that question and he came back and he said, it's not found in pleasure. Lord Byron lived such a life, if anyone did, and he wrote, the worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone. He said, happiness isn't found in money. There's a man by the name of Jay Gould, a millionaire, had plenty of money, and when he died, he said, I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth. It's not found in position or fame. Lord Beaconsfield was a man that had both of those things, and he wrote, youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, and old age a regret. It's not found in military success. Alexander the Great conquered the known world of his day, and after he did it, he said, there are no more worlds to conquer, and he wept to his death. The things of this world are never enough. Putting our trust in man will bring disappointment. But we also find that trust in God brings hope and happiness. Trust in God brings hope and happiness. Verse 6 there says, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. We first of all see the greatness of God. You know, we can always trust the Lord for his greatness. His greatness is revealed in two different ways here in this text, the greatness of his power. We have the God of creation on our side. He's the God that said, let there be, and there was. He's the God that spoke and created this world. We have a God who is limitless in his power. It's the power that he gave to us in salvation that we have access to day by day. And when we may feel overwhelmed by life, we can remember who our God is and what he has done for us. And as we remember who our God is, we can remember the fact that he is exceeding abundantly. He can give exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We know that our God's power is limitless. His greatness is there for us, and we can trust in that. Our family has a Chevy Traverse, and our car can move down the highway at high rates of speed. It can climb hills much faster than I could climb them myself. It has all-wheel drive. It can get us where we need to go. My car has many capabilities. It has capabilities that I do not have. But when I yield myself to the position inside the vehicle, the abilities of the car become mine. Suddenly, as soon as I enter the vehicle, I can do what that car is capable of because I've trusted it. The same thought is true when it comes to a relationship with God. You know, when we trust God, his power becomes our power. His ability can become our ability. Because of God, when we put our trust in him, we are enabled to stand, we're enabled to walk, we can win, we can get the victory in our life because we're resting on the power of God and not our own. We should trust him. See the greatness of his power, we see the greatness of his promises. We're told there that in verse 6, which keepeth truth forever. I believe there that it's referencing the different things, but specifically the very words of God. What God has promised us, he will bring to pass. As Christians, we don't need to fear a single one of God's promises passing away unfulfilled or not being true in our life. God will do everything he has said he would do. He keeps his truth forever. We can trust him. We see his greatness, and very quickly, we also see the works of God. There in verse 7, he says, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry, the Lord looseth the prisoners. Verse 8, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind, the Lord raiseth them that are bowed down, the Lord loveth the righteous. Verse 9, the Lord preserveth the strangers, he relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. We see the works of God there in those three verses. We could stop there at just verse 6, and that should be enough for us to desire to put our trust in God, but we also have evidence of his works as they're praising him there. First thing we see in verse 7, he fights for us. We have a God who helps those who cannot help themselves. He delivered the Israelites from the bondage that they were in, and they're praising him for the fact and remembering what he had done for him at this point. But God delivered us, and we could not deliver ourselves. He stepped in by grace, and he saved us. He is worthy of our trust. He fights for us. He feeds the hungry. Not just our daily bread, but every need his hand supplies. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply what? All your need, according to his riches and glory." We have a God who feeds the hungry. We should trust him. We have a God who loosens the imprisoned. He delivered Israel from the tormentors there, and he has done the same for each and every one of us. Jesus came to set man free. He delivered us from our lost, hell-bound condition, and as we're celebrating today, Easter, and how he came and how he died and how he rose for us, he has loosened us from the bondage of sin, from the victory that sin was going to have over us without him. He gives sight to the blind, verse 8. Like amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Our soul was once trapped in sin and blind to the things of God. It was held prisoner by sin and by the darkness of Satan. And there was a day when Jesus saved my soul and made me see. Gave a spiritual sight. We can trust him. He carries our burdens. I love the way they phrase that there in verse 8. It says, "The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down." Those people that are, those ones that are carrying such a load that they can't stand up straight, those ones that have been carrying this load and are burdened by the weight they are bearing, they begin to get lower and lower, and we have a God that can raise us up at those moments. A God that has told us that we can cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. A God that desires to have our burdens. A God that desires to lift us up. He loves the righteous. God has a special place in his heart for those who are in a right relationship with him, those that are his children. He's promised us in Romans chapter 8 that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God. What a promise that is. To know that he loves us. And as he loves us unconditionally, completely, he is worthy of our trust. Verse 9, he says, "The Lord preserveth the strangers. He will accept all men to his family." It says, "He relieveth the fatherless and widow. He is hope to the hopeless." The most disadvantaged members of society, the weakest of us, are taken care of, can be taken care of by God. God cares for the weak. God cares for the lonely. God cares for those that are struggling, that feel alone. God desires to help, to strengthen, to nourish them, to use them. What a wonderful thing it is to know that God doesn't only use the talented. God doesn't only use the ones that have been through Bible college or those that have been saved since childhood. God can use any of us that are surrendered to him. He is worthy of our trust. He's the righteous judge there in the end of verse 9. The Lord cares for his own. He frustrates the plans of the wicked. And in the end, God will vindicate his name and exalt himself. He's worthy of our trust. We see his greatness. We see his works. In verse 10, we see his glory. Says that the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. He will forever be God. He will forever reign. His promises will stand the test of time. You know, before the world began, he was, he will always be, he will never leave. He is worthy of our trust. With five kids in the house, anytime I'm walking through a hallway or entering a room, I kind of got to walk with my eyes wide open, ready for any of them to jump and to pounce and ready to catch them. And those of you that are parents have understood, there's many times that your kids have seen you coming and jumped into your arms. and you catch them. And there's times that I may walk into a room and somebody will jump on my back from a bunk bed, or one of the little ones somehow were up on a countertop or on the side of the couch, and they try to jump into my arms and I have to catch them last minute. And you say, what are you doing? I could have dropped you. But they trust you because you're their parent. Every moment, our God is there. Every moment, our God is ready to help us, to hold us, to heal us, to hear us. We can trust Him. If we want happiness, we need to trust God. Then lastly tonight, very quickly, we need to praise God. Two things: trust God, praise God. The beginning and the end of chapter, actually of all these last five chapters of Psalms, begin and end with praise. In verse 1 here of chapter 146, there is a revealed a need to praise, or a call of praise to the believers, to the ones that need to praise God, to the Israelites. Now, we can look at the day and age that we live in, and the world may not find much reason for praise to God. The world can look around and not see much reason right now to praise the Creator of this universe. But there's not a Christian living that should ever find trouble doing that. Just knowing that He died to pay the debt that we could never pay is enough, that each and every one of us should praise Him with each breath we have. There is a need for praise in each and every one of our lives. There is a call for praise in each and every one of our life, and may we never get comfortable going a day without praise. When we never get too comfortable trying to live this life without praising the one who saved us, praising the one that created this world, that gave us the life that we have. May we never be too comfortable not to praise. There's a need for praise. We also see there in verse 2 a commitment to praise. I love the way he said this. He said, while I live, will I praise the Lord. He says that my praise has no boundaries. Every day while I live, I'm going to praise God. There was a commitment for a lifetime of praise. As long as breath is in my lungs, I will praise the Lord. This psalmist is declaring the intention to praise God with each and every day that he lives. And that same call is on each and every one of us tonight. Whether you are sick or well, whether you're a boy or a girl, man or woman, whether you're at home or at church tonight, we have a call to praise our God. It's a commitment for a lifetime. But we also see here that it's not just for our lifetime, it is an eternal commitment that each and every one of us should make. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. For eternity, we should be praising our God. One day, each and every Christian is going to arrive at heaven, and at that moment, as we are standing perfect in the presence of God, we'll have more reason than we've ever had to exalt the name of Him, and we will do that. I love the song that we sing. We just sang it a couple weeks ago as a congregation, Oh Praise the Name. And in that chorus it says, for endless days we will sing thy praise, O Lord our God. For endless days we will be praising our God. You know, one day in heaven you will want to do nothing but praise Him. Why not start now? Why not make a decision or have a desire to praise God with each and every day that you live? Praise isn't just reserved for the church house. Praise should be part of your daily walk. There's a need, there's a commitment here for praise. And lastly, there's a reason for praise. The psalmist begins with a call to praise. Goes to explain we don't need to trust in man, but we need to trust in God. And then he explains everything that God is, and then he praises Him again. The reason that we should trust in God is also the reason that we should praise God. Why praise? Because we trust Him. because of the victory he's brought in our life, because of the things he's already done for us, because of who he is and what he wants to do for us. We have much reason to praise. During Napoleon's travels and desire to conquer the world for France, he went to every village he could and tried to overtake them. And a man by the name of Massena, one of Napoleon's generals, suddenly appeared with 18,000 men before an Austrian town that had no way to defend themselves. It was very visible to the people in the city that very soon they were going to be taken over. There was much panic. People were running around. They were trying to decide what they needed to do. The town council got together there in the church, and they were ready to surrender until an old man stood up and reminded the whole congregation that it was Easter. And he begged them to hold services as usual and to leave the trouble in the hands of God. And they did that. And as they began to ring the church bells that Easter morning, those 18,000 troops led by Massena heard those bells ringing from a distance. And to their mind, they thought that most likely the Austrian military had come and they were ready to fight off the army there of France that was about to take them over. And as those church bells were ringing, the historian said that the troops for France were gone before the bells even stopped ringing. They decided to praise, and victory came to them. Just thinking of my own life, I can think of many dark days. I can think of trials that I've had. I can think of difficulties. I can think of emotions that I've felt in my heart, and in some very dark, hard times for me as a young man, as a married man, different trials that we've dealt with, times that I've been stressed, overwhelmed, hard to find joy in my daily walk. I come to find that any time in those moments I would praise God, victory would come in my heart. Anytime I would praise and be reminded of who God was and what he wanted to do for me, that sadness would change to happiness. The uncertainty in my heart and the feeling of insecurity, wondering how this is going to pan out, just went away because I was trusting in the one I was praising. And there may be someone listening tonight that is going through a difficult time as well, and this feeling of uncertainty and wondering how God's going to bring you through this. And instead of holding all the fear and holding all the loneliness and trying to carry these burdens, these trials on your own, may each and every one of us just desire to praise the one who is worth trusting. No enemy is as strong as faith accompanied with praise. Verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I want to ask you tonight, where's your hope? Is it in our economy, local authorities, your security system at your house, your 401k. We have evidence in the Word of God and in our life those things will not last. Or is your hope in the eternal, omnipotent, immutable King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Circumstances should not determine our happiness. If we want happiness, trust Him and praise Him. Are you happy tonight? I want to invite you now to bow your head for a moment of invitation. Before we pray, I want to ask you the question that my wife and I have asked our son many times. Are you happy? Or are you overwhelmed as a result of your trust, your hope, maybe your praise even being in the wrong things. Happiness comes to the one who has the God of Jacob for his help. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for who you are, what you've done for us. I pray, God, that this short moment of invitation, that each and every one of us, God, would just have a desire to surrender, Lord, whatever burdens we may have to you. God, that as we surrender those burdens, as we, Lord, do those things and look to you, that our trust would not be in man, not be in ourselves, would not be in a family member, would not be in our finances, but that our trust would be solely on you. And Lord, that as we're doing that, we would be people of praise for the victories, Lord, that you've already given, the victories that you will give. Bless the invitation. We ask this in your name. Amen.